The section that I'm going to do today is called Should Healing Be Repeated? And I'm going to read through it and then we'll discuss it. Should Healing Be Repeated?
What page are you on?
On page 22 in the teacher's manual. The question really answers itself. Healing can't be repeated. If the patient is healed, what remains to heal him from? And even if the healing is certain, and we've already said that the healing is certain, what is there to repeat? For a teacher of God to remain concerned about the result of healing is to limit the healing. It's now the teacher of God himself whose mind needs to be healed. And it is this he must facilitate. The teacher of God is now the patient, and the teacher of God must so regard himself as the patient. The teacher of God has made a mistake and must be willing to change his mind about the mistake. The teacher of God lacked the trust that makes forgiving truly. And so the teacher of God hasn't received the benefit of his gift. Whenever the teacher of God has tried to be a channel for healing, the teacher of God has succeeded. Should the teacher of God be tempted to doubt that he had succeeded in being a channel for healing, the teacher of God should not repeat his previous effort. This previous effort that was already maximal because the Holy Spirit so accepted the teacher of God's previous effort and so used the teachers of God's previous effort. Now the teacher of God has only one course to follow. The teacher of God must use his or her reason to tell himself that he has given the problem to one who cannot fail and must recognize that his own uncertainty is not love but fear and therefore hate. The teacher's position has thus become untenable, for the teacher is offering hate to one whom he offered love. This is impossible. Having offered love, only love can be received. Having offered love, only love can be received. It is this that the teacher of God must trust. Having offered love and only love can be received is what is really meant by the statement that the one responsibility of the miracle worker is to accept the atonement for themselves. The teacher of God is a miracle worker because the teacher of God gives the gifts the teacher of God has received. Yet the teacher of God must first accept the gifts. The teacher of God need do no more than accept the gifts, nor is there more that a teacher of God can do. By accepting healing, the teacher of God can give healing. If the teacher of God doubts that by accepting healing, the teacher of God can give healing, let the teacher of God remember who gave the gift and who received the gift. Thus is the teacher of God's doubt corrected. The teacher of God thought that the gifts of God could be withdrawn. That was a mistake, but hardly a mistake to stay with. And so the teacher of God can truly recognize it for what it is and let it be corrected for him or her. One of the most difficult temptations to recognize is that to doubt a healing because of the appearance of continuing symptoms is a mistake in the form of a lack of trust. Recognize that to doubt a healing because of the appearance of continuing symptoms is a mistake in the form of lack of trust. As such, it is an attack. It seems to be just the opposite. It does appear unreasonable at first to be told that continued concern is attack. Continued concern is attack. Continued concern is all the appearances of love, yet love without trust is impossible, and doubt and trust cannot coexist. And hate must be the opposite of love, regardless of the form hate takes. Doubt not the gift, and it's impossible to doubt the gift's result. This is the certainty that gives God's teachers the power to be miracle workers, for God's teachers have put their trust in God. The real basis for doubt about the outcome of any problem that has been given to God's teacher for resolution is always self-doubt. And that necessarily implies that trust has been placed in an illusory self, which is the ego. For only such a self can be doubted. This illusion can take many forms. Perhaps there is a fear of weakness and vulnerability. Perhaps there is a fear of failure and shame associated with a sense of inadequacy. Perhaps there is a guilty embarrassment stemming from false humility. The form of the mistake is not important. What is important is only the recognition of a mistake as a mistake. The mistake is always some form of concern with the self to the exclusion of the patient. The mistake is a failure to recognize the patient as part of the self and thus represents a confusion in identity. Conflict about what you are has entered your mind and you become deceived about yourself. It's on page 22. And you are deceived about yourself because you have denied the source of your creation. If you are offering only healing, you cannot doubt. If you really want the problem solved, you cannot doubt. If you're certain what the problem is, you cannot doubt. Doubt is the result of conflicting wishes. Be sure of what you want, and doubt becomes impossible. Everybody got that? Don't worry about how much you understand all of it at first, because it's not you that does the healing or the correction or anything about anything anyway. So that's the main, that's like the main point, I think, that the Course in Miracles is always trying to get across to us, is that we're not the one that's doing the healing anyway. We're not the one that's fixing anybody anyway. We're not the ones that know the truth of everything anyway. You know, so a lot of our pressure is coming from putting an unreasonable level of responsibility on ourselves to begin with. You didn't create me, so don't worry about it. You're not responsible for me. I didn't create you, and I'm not responsible for you. I didn't create the universe, and I'm not responsible for the universe either. I didn't create the animals, and I didn't create the birds, not at this level. At this level of consciousness, at this level of awareness, we didn't create anything anyway. So the Course in Miracles is really about, how do you get out of the way to allow that which did create everything? How can you get out of the way so that part can function in your life and can function in the lives of others? That's what makes the Course easy. The once a person studying the Course in Miracles gets that it's about healing their relationship with God, that it's about healing your relationship with the Source, it's about getting rid of anger, guilt, grievances, and lacks of forgiveness, and recognizing who we are as spiritual beings, then the Course in Miracles makes sense. If it's approached from the same perception that most people approach things, like, I'm going to study something else so I can make myself smart enough so that I can fix everything better than I fixed everything before, then the Course is going to be pretty much hell for you. And so the reason why I'm emphasizing that, because my ministry is taking a new direction. It's taking the direction of more and more and more and more and more about getting us out of the way to let God function in our lives, which is the purpose of the Course. That's the purpose, to let love rule in our lives instead of fear. It's only going to work, and I'm only going to be able to move fast with people who realize that they're not God and that they are God. But they know that who they think they are isn't. So at that point, it really becomes powerful. For instance, this section is a perfect example of that. Page 22, brother. Should healing be repeated? Forgot about my eraser. That's why it says you don't have to believe the ideas, you don't have to accept the ideas, you don't have to welcome them. But if you use them, you'll see that it's true. And that's why I'm doing these once a month seminars with people who are not here because, not at the seminar because they want to question the Course as whether or not it's a valid path for them. My workshops are for people who have accepted that the Course in Miracles is a valid path for them and they want to learn it. It's not for the people who are arguing and fighting and debating and all that, because I'm not going to do any of that in my seminars. I'm not going to spend 5 minutes trying to convince somebody about whether or not the Course is valid. But there are a lot of people in my classes that have already decided that it's valid for them, and they just want to take advantage of all the years that I've worked with it, as well as learn how to study it better for themselves. That's what my advanced mind training is about. So I'm looking forward to that, because the energy that goes into a room when everybody's on the same page is an unbelievable level of growth. You know, and people who want to interact also not be like little separate cubicles in a room, but also actually relate to the people that's in the room with them. And might even smile sometime. I know it's an outrageous thought, but just might actually look at somebody and smile at them.
You mean not just send their representative?
Yeah, not just sitting up there with their representative, but their real self. So, first of all, when you take the Course sentence by sentence, It'll blow your mind because almost every sentence is a universal law. So like this, like the first paragraph says, should healing be repeated? The question really answers itself. Number one, you can't repeat healing. Because if you've really been healed, what do you need to be healed from? If you've really been healed, why should you be healed over and over and over and over and over again? So it says healing is certain, and if it is, what is there to repeat? Then he says, we're supposed to be teachers of God at some point. That means we're supposed to be demonstrators of love, demonstrators of truth. He says, if we remain concerned about the result of the healing, it limits the healing. In other words, if I try to be helpful in a situation and then I'm always concerned about the result of the help or the gift or the information or the whatever I'm giving, then he says that that's actually a limit on it. So if you are a person that is concerned, then the court says, then you need to realize that it's not the other person that needs to be healed anymore. Your focus should be on healing yourself. You're the one that needs to be healed. So if you're the one that's concerned, then you are the one that needs to be healed, not the person you're concerned about. That's different. That's very different. I mean, in other words, the minute I got concerned, then I'm the one who has the fear also. So I need to be healed just as much as the person that I think needs to be healed. Okay. Then he says, so then, if you're concerned, then he says the next step is for you to facilitate your own healing and see yourself as the patient, and you should regard yourself as the patient because you've made a mistake, and now you must be willing to change your mind about the mistake. And then somebody says, well, what was the mistake? And then the next sentence says it. What's that? Your lack of trust. You lack the trust that makes forgiving truly, and so you haven't received the benefit of your gift. So if I'm concerned about the result of the healing, I don't trust in God's ability to heal the situation. I don't trust the universe's ability. I don't trust the Creator's ability. So the Course in Miracles truly gets you in touch with every ounce of lack of faith and lack of belief in the higher power that you have. If you think you have a belief in the higher power, if you study the Course in Miracles, you will really come to realize how much you do or how much you don't. Most people don't get tested in terms of their faith, so they don't really know. Because they can just say, I believe in God, I believe in God, I believe in God, I believe in God, I believe in God. Oh yes, I believe in God. You talk to, most Americans claim to believe in God. You almost talk to any of them, they'll go, yes, I believe in God, and I'm scared to death. And I'm worried about everything. Crime, rent, disease, you name it. I'm worried about it, but you know what? I believe in God. And they don't even see how totally contradictory those two statements are. That I believe in a higher power, yet I'm afraid of everything. So the Course in Miracles is saying that since you don't have the trust, since you're still concerned about whether or not the problem is going to be solved, then instead of beating yourself up, you should regard yourself as the student or the patient, and then start to do what's necessary to facilitate your own faith in God or Spirit. I'm going to say God. Y'all can change it to anything you want to. I'm going to stop avoiding that word, too. I like it. All right? So just transpose it in your mind if you got a problem for it. I don't need to be working this. Got to say it a million different ways so somebody won't be offended. It's like I'm retired. I'm too old for this. It's like I've been going crazy in my classes trying not to say certain words that I think somebody's going to be bothered about. And I'm like, well, wait a minute now. That's not my problem. That's their problem. Yeah, it's like, wake up, brother. You know. You keep avoiding it, you'll keep the people in your presence that don't want to hear it. And so you just say who you are, and then everybody that don't like it, they'll leave, and you'll be left with the people that don't. It's been a trip. There's been so much waking up going on the last few weeks. Some of the waking up has been great. Some of the waking up has been a trip. There's so much going on in my life, in my personal life. All right. Oh, I need every lesson. Anybody else? Oh, okay. All right. I just wanted to check in. All right. So, did you get the first paragraph?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Any questions? Anything anybody want to say about the first paragraph before we go to the next paragraph? In the Course, and I'm going to help you out. I don't like the human glossary. The Course in Miracles definition of healing is the undoing of fear. the undoing of separation. So, should the undoing of fear be repeated? No, because if you really have your fear undone, why do you need to be released from all the time? And then it takes a step, it goes a step further, and then I love it. You know, it's like it's very important to keep in mind that the course is talking about ideas, right? So fear is an idea. It's false evidence appearing real. Okay? All right, so fear is false evidence appearing real. So you have the idea of fear, and then that idea takes what? Many forms. So the idea of fear takes the form of sickness, lack, disease, attack, war. So we are pretty much focused on the effect level, right? So when we look at the paper, look at the newspaper, look at the news, talk to our friends and relatives, what they're really sharing with us is the effect level. And so most people try to heal everything at the effect level. The Course in Miracles, it heals at the causative level. So it's always trying to correct the fear or undo the fear in our minds and hearts, because it knows if we will change our perception, let go of the fear, then the effect will just on its own heal, disappear, leave your life. But most people are not looking at the cause, they're looking at the effect. They'll tell you the effect that was going on in their relationship, or the effect that's going on in their body, or the effect that's going on in their job. Okay, now, A Course in Miracles student is learning to get in touch with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is nothing but the part of you and I that is still aware of its relationship with God. And every one of us has that part of us that is the love, that is the extension of God, that's still in touch with God. The problem is that we have made up a self that we think we are. And so we listen to what I call the made up self. We don't listen to the real self. Where did the made up self or the ego come from? It came from the idea of separation, and it came from all the stuff that we've learned since the day we landed on the planet. Some of us still landed on the planet with a kind of a still an awareness that this isn't where we came from and this isn't all that we are. But after we got hypnotized and mesmerized here for a while, then we totally forgot about it and we bought into it just like everybody else, you know. It reminds me of that. Whoever remember that movie called Invasion of the Body Snatchers? Y'all remember that? That movie was a great movie. It was like they could only be taken over if they did what? Who remembers? They went to sleep. And if they went to sleep, then that's when they were replaced by the false self. Right. And that's exactly what the Course is saying. As soon as you go to sleep, as soon as you buy into the game that everybody's playing here, and now you believe you're just this human body on your own, then you've been snatched. So the Course is saying, don't go to sleep. Wake up. He says rest comes from waking, not from sleeping. You don't rest in the world until you are awake to the truth. You suffer in the world when you are asleep to the truth. So everybody you see suffering are the people who are asleep. Notice I didn't say guilty. I didn't say sinful. I said what? Asleep. Okay, so I define people in my life as being awake or asleep or awakening. You know, that way it's not like I'm attacking the person when I go, my God, she's asleep. You see what I'm saying? My God, he's asleep. He's asleep. He's not aware of his unity with all that is. He's not aware of his spiritual awareness. He's not aware of who he or she. They're asleep. It even seems funny to me talking even in terms of gender, because the once you begin to recognize who you really are, you recognize that gender is an illusion too. It's just as much of a role that you're playing as much as anything else that you're doing, you know. Because the spirit doesn't have a sex. It's beyond the body. So who we really are is neither male nor female. It just has an ideal image of itself as male or female. And then we identify with that image, and then we project and create an experience based on that idea. But that's not who we ultimately are. That's deep, but it's true. Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about the illusion. Mm-hmm. The world of illusion, solid illusion. But mm-hmm. If you're if you're awake,
mm-hmm.
I was awake right now,
mm-hmm.
is this still considered some kind of an illusion, or does it become real because I'm awake?
No, if you're awake, you're aware that it's an illusion.
Oh.
If you're asleep, you think it's real. Okay, so if you're awake, you're aware that it's an illusion, but because you are aware that it's an illusion, you enjoy it more than the person that's asleep and thinks it's real. So a person that's in the illusion, that's aware it's an illusion, is the person that has peace in the illusion. And what we mean by an illusion is that everything we see changes and everything that we see is temporary. It doesn't mean by an illusion that I'm saying, you know, you're not having the experience of sitting on the sofa or whatever. It's saying the Course's definition of an illusion is simply something that changes and something that's not permanent. It defines reality as that which never changes, and an illusion is that which does. And that idea of calling this an illusion usually upsets people. And because they think that somehow or another, it's almost like, okay, tell me this. Why do you think this being called an illusion is upsetting?
Because when you feel pain, you feel it.
mm-hmm.
You know, you're bleeding or you're hurting or you're crying, and for someone to say that's an illusion,
uh-huh.
like I'm not here.
Uh-huh. Okay. Anybody else? What resistance do you have with the idea that this isn't permanent?
I'm vested in that. My identity is wrapped up in whatever that idea is.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm believing that that's all that I am, if you say that's an illusion, you're saying, oh no, I'm not real.
Right.
I don't count. I'm not special.
Right.
Now I'm really scared.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There's not a wrong answer. And the Course's premise is this. Because it hurts you, that's how you know it's an illusion. Because God, which is love, would never create anything that would hurt you. So reality would never hurt you. Love would never hurt you. So the mere fact that you're experiencing the pain means that it's not real, as God created reality.
Yeah.
So, actually, the pain is a witness to the fact that you are deceiving yourself about your true spiritual identity. The pain is not saying that somehow or another you're guilty or that you're bad or that you're not feeling the pain. As a matter of fact, the purpose of the pain is to make you think that this is real. So that's also the purpose of pleasure. I mean, I remember when, because one of the things I want to do in some of these sections is go through what some of my favorite, most powerful sections in the Course in Miracles. And fortunately, since I've been in it long enough to lose a lot of my resistance to it, the stuff that frightens you the most, if you were open to another way of looking at it, I could always show you a way to let go of the fear and how that's your ego trying to scare you. And that's how we save time, because it's always a trick. Because it would be a lot easier to release pain that you thought wasn't ultimately real than to release pain that you think is. You know what I'm saying? Believing that I'm in a room full of poisonous gas and I'm really not, it's a lot easier to rescue me from a room that's not full of poisonous gas that I think is than a room full of poisonous gas that I believe is real. So there's no benefit in wanting fear to be permanent and love to be the illusion, which is the way we look at it. We want to believe the fearful things are real and the loving thoughts are airy-fairy. Mm-hmm. That's what that is. But people say, get real. When somebody says that to me, they're usually saying, get fearful, get negative. That's what they usually mean when people say, get real. Yeah, they're saying, get negative. You know, cool. But you know what? I've been on the path long enough to know my idea is going to have a physical form. And so I'm going to admit what I feel, even if it's fearful, but I'm going to focus on the ideas that are true, so that I can have those manifestations. So I'm not going to be in denial about any of my feelings, but I'm going to choose for the truth. I'll be honest with myself about what I feel, but I'm going to choose for the truth. So paragraph 1 was saying basically If a person's been healed, they don't need to be healed again. If you're still concerned about the healing, then it's you the one that needs to be healed, because it's you the one that doesn't have the faith in God.
Got it.
Okay. Paragraph 2 goes, whenever you have tried to be a channel for healing, you succeeded. That's a powerful statement. When I first read that, he says, but if you doubt this, he says, you shouldn't repeat your efforts. Now, that's just the opposite, too, because we do just the opposite. If I try something and I think it didn't work, then I'm going to try again. The course says, if you try to be a channel for healing and you've asked Spirit to use you, the Spirit has used you in the best way for you to be used. Now, it might not be the way you think you should be used, and it may not have presented you with the result the way you think it should happen, but you've been used the ones you wanted to be used for love. Got it? So the court said, now if you're tempted to doubt this, you shouldn't repeat your previous effort, because your previous effort was already maximal. Why? He said, because God accepted it. So if you gave it to your higher self to be in charge of the situation, he says, then you have to accept that whether you see it that way or not, it must be in divine order at this point. If I've really given it up, then I've been used. And so, guess what? That effort was maximal. He says now you have only one course to follow. You must let your reason... Okay, this is what you do. He says, first of all, you let your reason tell you that you've given the problem to a power that cannot fail. And you must recognize that your doubt and your uncertainty isn't love. You're no longer bringing love into the situation. Now you're bringing fear into the situation, because you doubt the one power that can heal all things. He says, and fear is just a form of hate. When somebody says they hate somebody, they're just merely saying, I have an intense level of fear of this person. That's all it means. When somebody says, I hate you, it just means I'm afraid of you. I'm out of my mind feeling afraid and separate when it comes to you. Okay? Yeah. And sometimes the biggest breakthroughs in relationships happen after a person tell you they hate you. You know, because you go, wow. They'll go, I don't really want to hate you. You know, I want to go beyond this feeling of hate. And then you hear them say they hate you, and then it makes you go, well, wow, it would be good if we could somehow or another get past this. You know, but the average person hates you, don't say they hate you, make themselves sick and die. Because they turn all their feeling in on themselves. So that's why so many nice people bite the dust. Because there's so many nice people. Have you noticed? They're just everywhere. Aren't you nice?
I'm nice.
Yeah, that's right. If you're a nice person that's willing to admit you got some parts of you that's not so nice, you live a long time. But the nice person who really is not so nice, but they're trying to pretend that they're nice, those are the ones who catch hell in life all the time. Yeah, they're always the good people that bad things are always happening to. And they go, why is it happening to me? Because I'm a good person. You know, it's funny. The book explains all of that. There's almost nothing you can bring up if there's not some part of the course that doesn't deal with that issue. The challenge of it, though, is that the Course in Miracles explanations are almost never what you expect the explanation to be. And that's what turns me on about it, is that it isn't what I thought. Like, for instance, I didn't think that if I was concerned about somebody's healing that it meant that I didn't have faith, so I need to see myself as a patient and I need to go to work on me. I didn't think that I've always succeeded every time I've tried to be a channel for healing, and if I doubt that, I should stop and realize that, you know, I gave this to the power that cannot fail. So now if I'm afraid, then I'm just adding more fear to an already fearful situation, and I'm not really helping the person at all. They're already in fear because that's why they're going through what they're going through. I'm afraid now for them, so therefore I'm adding fear to the situation. Then he says, your position has thus become... Is that the way you pronounce that word, untenable? It looks like untenable. He says, because you're offering hate to one whom you offered love. He said, but it's impossible. The Course will always make you think you've done something and then tell you that you didn't do it. That's the way it does the whole book. It'll make you feel like your ego is in charge and you got a long way to go, and then it'll come right behind us. But you know what? Don't worry about it, because the power that cannot fail is in charge of everything, and there's nothing you can do ultimately to be more powerful than God. There is no error that we could make that would be more powerful than God's ability to heal it. And then people go, well, what about all the stuff that's going on in the world? And then I look at them and go, well, what do you mean? What do you think is going on in the world? And they'll go, well, you know, all the pain and the suffering and attack and the hate. So, really, that's what you see? Yeah. I said, well, that's not what I see. But what do you see? I see healing. I may not understand it, but I see healing. I see whatever's going on right now is part of an ultimate healing that's going on that's beyond anything I can understand, even though it may look like it's a total catastrophe from my level of consciousness right here. You know what I'm saying? How many of you have ever cut yourself or bruised yourself as a kid? And I don't know about you, but scabs don't look that pretty. Right? They're pretty ugly looking. Right? But you know, if you didn't get the scab, that's when you really got the problem. Right? So sometimes the healing looks ugly. And we're looking at an ugly healing. That's what we're seeing right now in the world. Because every moment of every day, everybody is getting closer to the recognition that there must be a better way. Some people have to go through a lot of pain before they get to that point where they go, there must be a better way. So that's all you see in any situation. You're either seeing people who recognize there's a better way and then trying to move in that direction, or you're seeing people on the way to recognizing there is a better way, which you and I used to be in some areas, maybe still are. You see what I mean? But that's part of the healing, is getting to the realization that you need to heal it. So sometimes when you try to rescue people, you actually slow down the process of their healing. You know, it's like the person who cracks the egg to help the chick get out a little bit easier, not realizing that by cracking the egg to help the chick get out, the chick didn't develop the strength that it needed to function in the world, which it needed by cracking through this eggshell itself. Same thing is true about a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. If you don't let the butterfly get out on its own, then it never flies, because it never develops the strength to fly unless it pushes through that challenge. And that's true for us sometimes. It's like sometimes you need to let your friends crash. And when they crash, they'll get serious about their change, but you keep rescuing them, they'll keep doing the same thing over and over again and never, you know, call it tough love. And there's something to be said for that. If it's done with compassion, if it's done with the realization that this person is innocent, and if it's done with the realization that they really aren't sinful or guilty, they're just making mistakes. It's the difference in looking at it that way. So he says, it is this that the teacher of God must trust, that if you really offer only healing, which is love, only love has been received. He says, this is what is really meant by the statement, the one responsibility of the miracle worker is to accept the atonement for himself. Let's take that statement. The Course in Miracles, when you read it, you realize that the miracle, a definition for miracle, other than love, because you can always use love and fear, but the one responsibility, one definition of the miracle worker is the miracle is a correct perception. The Course says, teaches that if we have a correct perception, it's a miracle. Which is kind of funny. So your one responsibility is to accept the atonement for yourself. And he says the atonement is the correction of error or the undoing of fear. So really, from a Course perspective, our only responsibility is to accept this truth for ourselves. See, that's what made my path easier. I used to be on the path where I thought it was about convincing others. Now, I just spend it all day trying to see if I can accept what this book is saying. I don't care if anybody else does anymore. So I became silent. In becoming silent, I accepted it faster. When I talked, I had to listen to what other people thought about it. And I don't want to hear what nobody else thinks. But once I know what I want to think, then I need to focus on what I want to think. Does that make sense to everybody? Because when you say what you think, and everybody identifies with what they think, then if you say something different from what the other person thinks, they're going to almost feel like an automatic reaction has got to be to somehow or another question what you just said. Because The course teaches that everybody identifies with their thought system. And when you don't share a person's thought system, it weakens it, and that they perceive it as an attack upon them. So if you're personally involved in the course, and then someone says, oh, the Course in Miracles is a bunch of crap, watch and see if you don't go, ugh. It's almost like they attack you. Because we identify with it, right? So when you're always talking about what you believe before you're grounded in what you believe, then you're just asking for a lot of opposition and people to try to weaken your belief. But if you are certain that it's the direction that you want to go in, then you be with that truth and you apply it to yourself, and then you join with other people and discuss it with other people who have the same purpose that you do. And then the belief becomes stronger, faster. The average person does just the opposite. They don't really believe it yet themselves. Then they go talk about it with somebody who really thinks they're crazy. I see it all the time. You know, where with me, people would never know I was a Course in Miracles teacher in my personal life. They would have no idea. Because the people I'm supposed to talk to about it, they always make themselves known some kind of way. It's amazing. It's amazing. So I'm always about trying to share with people the easy way. That's the hardest thing in the world to teach. It's the easy way. Yeah, you want to get some rebellion, teach the easy way. So wouldn't it be easier for you to have the one responsibility of accepting this for yourself? Yes. Then he says, well, the teacher of God is a miracle worker. Why? Because he gives the gifts he has received. But you must first accept it. Now, if I accept that I'm innocent, then I'm going to automatically look at you like you're innocent. So the mere fact that you accept something, you are going to give it. You don't have to worry about trying to give it. You are going to give it. But once you accept it, then that's the way you're going to live. So you'll be giving it through your demonstration. Then it goes on to say, you don't need to do more than accept it for yourself. He says, nor is there more you could do than accept it for yourself. Because by accepting the truth, accepting the healing, what does it say next? You can give it. If you doubt that by accepting that you can give it, then it repeats it again. It says, let you remember who gave the gift and who received the gift. All right, who gave you this truth? Did you make it up? Did I make it up? No. So who gave us this? Well, the Course says, I need to remember who gave the gift and who received the gift. The God in me and the God in you gave us the gift. And not only that, the Course says, thus, that's how you correct your doubt. You think the gifts of God could be withdrawn. That was a mistake, but it's hardly a mistake to stay with. And so the teacher of God can only recognize the mistake for what it is and let the mistake be corrected for him. So notice that every paragraph has said the same thing. It just said it in a different way. He said it again. He said, if I accept it, then I'm going to give it. If I have some doubts, I need to recognize who's in charge. Do I think God is going to love me today, take the love away tomorrow? Do I think that the universe is going to give the healing today, take it away tomorrow? He says that's a mistake. That's the way we do it. I love you today, I don't love you tomorrow. So tomorrow. So he says we think God operates the way we operate at this level of consciousness. We can give and receive our love, so we think God gives and receives love. So the truth is, it wasn't that. In a way, it's not true that God made man in his image so much as that man made God in his image. And so everybody gives God the characteristics that man has. Man gets jealous, God gets jealous. Man punishes, God punishes. You notice that? What most people glorify is a dysfunctional person projected as being a God. Because a sane person wouldn't even want a God like most people believe in. They wouldn't even want one like that. It's like, what? But people who feel really guilty and really believe in vindictive and revengeful, they love the God of punishment. Because it makes them feel innocent about their own desire for revenge on other people. Well, God punished the people, so of course, after that, two for two, Jack, it's in the Bible. So a person that wants to attack, they're going to love the punishing vengeful God. A person who wants forgiveness, would not love that God. And I've met people who study the Bible who are the most loving, gentle, giving, forgiving people I've ever met. And I've met people in the Bible who were psychopaths. I've met people in the Course in Miracles that was the most gentle, loving people that you can imagine. And I've met people study the Course. They use it to judge, criticize, condemn, and you know. So what does that mean? It means that what you want determines what you pull out of anything. Who you are determines what you get out of anything. Notice that I'm always on the side of you're innocent, you deserve to be happy, you can be helped. There's nothing you can do to lose eternal love. What you see me emphasize should be make it real obvious where I'm coming from. Mm-hmm. You show me, when I listen to you and you tell me what you emphasize, you're telling me where you're coming from. So I'm always listening to people, and I know what they say about other people applies to them. So nobody has secret thoughts from me. Their opinions of others are their thoughts to me. So you tell me how you feel about your friends, relatives in your life. I know how you think. It's not how they think you're revealing, because I don't know them. I'm listening to you. So you're telling me you're the one that's negative. You're the one that's afraid. You're the one that projects. You're the one that criticizes. You're the one, because that's what you see in everybody else. So that's what predominates in your own consciousness. Got it? So nobody can hide from you the once you wake up, because the once you wake up, you know that projection makes perception, and whatever somebody sees in somebody else, that's what the way they are in their own mind. So you listen more, and then you know where everybody around you is coming from. You listen to them, and you observe the intimate relationships they form, and you know everything you need to know. Then you'll never be fooled in another love relationship the rest of your life, or friendship. All you got to do is want to be interested instead of interesting. You go out with somebody, be interested, not try to be interesting. You know, if I have to spend an evening with somebody and they never ask me a question about myself, I know I'm with a totally self-absorbed person before I ever spend any time with them. How could you be with me for the first time and never ask me one single thing about me? But you always talking about you. Then I know that's all it's about for you, is you. A sleep person walk away and go, boy, he was so interesting. She was so interesting. No, she told herself a sword. It's like, pay attention. Pay attention. You know. Anybody want to say anything?
Uh-huh. When a teacher of God is trying to be a channel for you and has succeeded, should be tempted to doubt this. That whole thing is really interesting to me. I use it in my work, and I offer it up, and I go, okay, I'm going to talk to this client, and I'm just going to trust that it's all your words. And it usually works out pretty well, but then sometimes it's totally not what you think it's going to be.
What you say? It's not, what is it you think is not what you think it's going to be?
You think, I'm going to talk to this client, I'm a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're very sick people. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't look like what you thought it would look like. Or they come back the next week or you talk to them and they really don't feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is that sort of doubt creeps in.
Right.
But there's another part
right.
that it's so liberating because you get away from it.
Yeah. Well, that's what the Course is. Well, it goes up. It's, we talked about that a week ago about, you know, giving the gift and
the
then
toaster.
Yeah, the toaster. Yeah, you give a gift and then you decide when the person's supposed to use it. So therefore, you're there the next day to make sure they use the toaster you gave them. Then the Course said, well, you imprisoned the person. You didn't really give them a gift. You imprisoned them. And so you have to trust that what's coming through you. And if you want to heal really fast, stop thinking that it should always feel good. One of the biggest delaying maneuvers that people pull on themselves is that they think they should like every aspect of the truth that's being revealed to them. It's actually when you get to the point that you realize you're not going to always like what you hear that the real power is going to come through. Because you're probably hearing something opposite to what you believe. Opposite to what you're doing, or you would need the help.
And it's pretty cool because in this one instance, he actually said that. The client said that.
Yeah.
He basically said it doesn't feel good.
Yeah, the people I like to talk to the most are the ones that you know, that are okay about it not feeling good, because then you feel more comfortable about being completely honest with them. The people who don't want to hear what they don't want to hear, it's not really much you can do for them. Like he says in the next paragraph, one of the most difficult temptations to recognize is that to doubt a healing because of the appearance of continuing symptoms is a mistake in the form of lack of trust. I highlighted that one a million times. Yeah, because he says one of the most difficult temptations to recognize is what? We doubt a healing because it looks like they're still going through the same thing they were going through in the first place. You tell your friend the truth, and it looks like they're still going through what you went through in the first. They went through in the first place, so you doubt it because it looked like they're continuing to have the symptoms. But analogies bring things home to me. You know, if you got a strep throat and it's infected, and they give you the shot, well, it still looks like you still messed up. It's not like they give you the shot and then, bam,
right,
it's over. You still, they say, it will just take a few days. So the truth is, you believe in the healing even though you still got the symptoms. Right? You know, you're still hurting, but you feel like since you got the shot, you're going to feel better in a few days. That's what the course is saying. The once you really give yourself the truth, like what we're doing right now, and really putting the focus on love, that's like giving yourself the shot. Yeah, it might look like your life still has the continuing symptoms for a while, but don't doubt the healing just because the symptoms still continue if you're giving yourself the healing. And we're giving ourselves the healing, which is our joining and focusing on the truth. So are you willing to be patient?
Lessons of patience.
Are you willing to be patient while the remedy takes effect? So if I've given the remedy, then I have to let go of a concern. The doctor doesn't go home that night concerned about you once the doctor thinks he's really giving you the remedy for your problem. I promise you. As soon as you walk out of the office, he's not thinking about you anymore because he feels like he gave you the remedy. And that's what we have to realize. We've been given the remedy, but it still looks like we got the symptoms for a while. And so our job is not to be fooled by the continuing symptoms. He says, why? He says, because if you doubt the healing, he says, it's a form of lack of trust. And he says, and so that's an attack. He says, I know it seems like it's just the opposite. It does appear unreasonable at first to be told that continued concern is attack, because it does look like the mother who worries about her child all the time is a mother who's really loving her child. But the course is basically saying, no, the mother that's concerned all the time is attacking her child because she's surrounding her child with fear. You know, I think it's kind of sad now how children grow up compared to how I grew up. They can't do nothing. They can't go nowhere. You know, I mean, it's kind of sad. You know, it's the parents are so terrified that the children can't fall. You know, they got like 9,000 pads on, so they can't even skin their knee. You know, it's like, I don't know. You know, it just seems weird to me. It's like it looks like love, but it's suffocating. It's totally suffocating. You know, so, He says, love without trust is impossible, and doubt and trust can't coexist, and so hate must be the opposite of love. So he says, don't doubt the gift, and it's impossible to doubt its result. He says, our certainty comes from putting our trust in God. You know, what makes us different? We put our trust in love. We put our trust in the power that governs all things. The last two paragraphs, see if I can hit the two main points of them so we can finish on time. If you do have doubt, he says, it's always self-doubt. And that means you're putting your trust in your ego. And he says, when you put in your trust in your ego, you will have a fear of weakness, you have a fear of being hurt, you have a fear of failure, you feel shame because you think you're not adequate, you will feel guilty, embarrassment. He says, the form of the mistake isn't important. What's important is the recognition of the mistake as a mistake. So basically what Course is saying is, the presence of fear, which he says in the lesson, there's nothing to fear. He says the presence of fear is a sure sign you're putting your trust in yourself separate from God. That's all it's saying here. If you're walking around with all this doubt, Earl, it means, Earl, that you think you are the one that's supposed to solve everything. Okay? Then the last paragraph goes, that's a form of concern with yourself to the exclusion of the patient. And so what you're supposed to do is, you're supposed to recognize that person as part of yourself. You got some conflict about who you are. That's why you feel doubt. You've forgotten you're a child of God, and now you think you are God. And he says you're deceived about yourself because you've denied the source of your creation, and that you can't doubt if you offer only love, if you offer only healing. And if you really want the problem solved, you can't doubt. If you're certain about what the problem is, you can't doubt. So the definition of doubt in the Course in Miracles is what? Doubt is the result of conflicting wishes. So when I have doubt, it's because I believe that I'm the one that's supposed to do this, and at the same time I'm believing that God is supposed to do this. I got conflicting wishes. I think I'm supposed to do it, and I think the God in you is supposed to do it. And he says if you were to be sure of what you want, doubt would be impossible, because doubt comes from not knowing for certain. So if I'm sure I want healing for all of you, and I'm also sure that healing comes from the one who cannot fail, then when I sit up here and I go, God, use me, then I have to walk out of this room feeling like I've done the best I could in this moment, and I've been used the best I could be used for you all today. And that would be my trust. And that if there's something that I've shared with you that would be helpful to you, then you will use it whenever you believe that it would be helpful to you. So that's me not doubting the outcome. You know, you'll get it. You know, I have people call me up 16 years later and say, you know what you said from the Course back in 1989? That's the truth. I don't know why I didn't see that. You see what I'm saying? But if I hadn't been concerned about that person, I would have been worried for 17 years. You see, I couldn't have gone on about my business. So, but you give it to the person, and then you know the person will use it when they see the benefit of it. Not necessarily when I want them to see the benefit of it. End of section. Okay. So, we're going to do the love offering. Thank you for sharing. And thank you for being here. Thank you for being in my life. Thank you for being such a blessing in my life.
That's just how I feel.
Is that how you feel?
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that, because I feel the same way. And you just keep in mind that if you have concern, you should see yourself as the patient, and then every time you get concerned, go, okay, right now I need to work on my own mind, and I need to study more. Then you would have gotten everything this lesson was saying today. If every time you're tempted to worry, and you think it means you need to go out there and do something, and you realize that means, uh-oh, I'm the one that's doubting, so I need to study more. I need to go do my workbook lesson. I need to be quiet, because I'm offering fear where I should be offering love. If you could pull that off without feeling guilty because you think you ought to be doing more, you would have made a major breakthrough in your consciousness level, because just by taking that attitude, you're showing that somewhere in your heart and somewhere in your mind, you do believe there is a higher power that you can turn to. And that's the whole crux of the matter. Okay? And if you don't pull it off, if you're getting the Course correctly, then you would be gentle with yourself and you would forgive yourself for that, because we're all learners. So before you know it, you've jumped in and you're all concerned and you're trying to fix everything. Still doesn't mean you're bad. Doesn't mean you're guilty. It just means that old pattern came back up again. And you're innocent. Because we were taught to do that. So, you know, we shouldn't be upset with ourselves if we still do it, you know, from time to time. But you'd be amazed at the healings you'll start to see in people around you when you don't do. You know, you'd be amazed at the changes in the people around you when you go, oh, I need to set this for myself. And if there's somebody that I need to tell it to, they'll make it known. And you'll know who it is too, because you feel safe to talk to them. You won't feel afraid. You'll feel real comfortable walking up to them and saying it, you know. Pay attention to your feelings. If they can't, they're your best radar on this leg of the path. All right?
Yeah.
Okay. After Thursday night, 7 o'clock.